Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the third. Oh, that's the end of the. I thought the last show was going to be the last show in January, but it looks like the 31st is today.
Yep. It was a kind of exciting few days in the markets. So all of a sudden, all the excitement due to the Trump rally. Now, what do they call it now? The Trump plunge or the Trump something. They call it something. Everything's Trump. I mean, you can't get
everything's away. Trump.
Everything is Trump. So, as a matter of fact, the title for this particular episode is Trading Trump Tweets. We'll talk a little about some of the stuff that's going on there. But these executive orders are definitely causing some havoc with markets. We had this confusion with regard to this immigration over the weekend, did you see this news where you had the whole news is all about, oh my God, the airports, there's all this confusion, all that. And then, you see Trump say, well, you know what? It was really the Delta outage. And then it was all the protesters. My stuff's working just fine. Who do you believe?
We did see the protesters, so there's definitely that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, before Monday, it was 74 trading days that the Dow Jones Industrial Average moved more than 1% to the downside and 35 days since a 1% move to the upside. This is before Monday. We saw at the low yesterday, it was down, 200 points. Today was down 180 points to the Dow as well. And now for the month, for the end of the month, the official numbers, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 0.5%, the S&P up about 1.7%, and the NASDAQ up about 4.7%, crude down 3%. But now we're talking about all the things that have happened with Trump, and a lot of this stuff, he takes credit for all this, but it seems that, when he tweets something or he has a meeting, today he had a meeting with industry execs from the pharmaceutical and biotech world.
What was he trying to do? What was he trying to accomplish with those guys?
We're going to have
pharmaceuticals. I can see it, but biotech, I don't know.
Well, they're going to have faster, a more streamlined process through the FDA, and trying to get all these great drugs, onto market faster. And this goes with his whole line of, we're going to reduce regulations, and we're going to make it easier to do business in the U.S. I don't know. It seems to me that investors are just getting a little bit crazy with all these different, you can't help, but if you follow him on Twitter or if you even look at the news, listen, did you see, Spicer? He comes to one of the press conferences with all these blown up Twitter tweets from people.
Yeah. Spicer's a character. Yeah. This is the most entertaining. Most of these guys are just really annoying, but this guy's actually bordering on entertaining.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. He's kind of funny and he's mean. He's angry.
Oh, yeah.
He's angry.
Yeah, he's like LeBron James.
Yeah, he gets up there and he's all angry. Anyway, we're seeing that markets are definitely reacting to this. We saw that the banks clearly had a major reaction to the idea that there's going to be less regulation and that there's going to be some tax something coming down the road, a tax benefit, and the hope that rates will go higher due to the fact that we're going to see this yield spread widen out. Now, so what happens? Banks do really well. And what do you think happened? Leaders of JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs sold nearly $100 million of stock since November 9th it was. The most in that time period in the last decade.
They're bailing,
taking advantage of the good opportunities that are here. Talking out of one side of their mouth that, things are going to be really good. On the other side, do me a favor, dump 10,000 shares. Right? So we see it all the time.
Well, they're just taking a little money off the table.
Yeah, just a little something, something. And we know that the most interesting part of this is that this is, this next number of years is going to breed a time of, greed. I guess that's the right word. Greed and Machiavellian business style. We're already seeing that things like Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago.
Oh yeah.
He already doubled his initiation fee to 200,000 following his election.
I thought it was, is it that much? I thought it was 20,000.
It's now, well, initially, no, it was always, I think it was kind of close to 100,000.
Oh.
Now it's 200,000. And they've been considering
this a little high.
A little high. Although we could join maybe, but it's kind of far north for me. You and I, maybe we could buy a corporate membership and split it.
Sure.
And back on the tweets real quickly, through tweets, through Twitter, which is amazing how it's become so important all of a sudden that, you know, the president of Mexico is informing the White House they're not going to be attending last week's meeting with the president, with President Trump, through Twitter, initially through Twitter.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. I go back to my question. Is this a viable way for a president to be communicating?
Well, it definitely was the viable way for a candidate to communicate and win.
Yeah, I guess. But still, something about it is, it seems like everything that goes on.
Oh, you're an old fogey.
Is that what it is? You think so? When is he going to have an Instagram and a Snapchat account?
Oh, that's got to be. That's going next. Instagram, perfect.
I mean, it's one thing to have weekly
addresses. Selfie stick.
Is he doing weekly radio addresses?
Yeah.
He is. So he's doing weekly radio addresses. He's doing Twitter. Now Facebook has something today about, I guess, his meeting with the pharmaceutical companies. And I think there was some big announcement on social media also, as well as regular media, with regard to his Supreme Court appointment.
Yeah.
That was tonight.
Definitely.
But you don't have a problem with any of this? Does anybody have a problem with any of this?
I'm sure a lot of people have a problem with a lot of this, especially the news media. They're being cut out.
So that's kind of interesting also. That's the next thing. That you think that's why they're so angry at him? Or just angry?
No, they're angry at him because he's on the other side of a philosophical debate, globalism versus nationalism. Hmm. And they're all in for one world government. I don't know why.
Anyway, I'll mention that we are streaming this live. We also have a chat room available. If anybody in the chat room is listening up, tell us if this is coming across well and how the chat room's doing there. Give us a little bit of shout back. But you can find us live on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. Just go to DH Unplugged and click on the little button on the right there that says, hey, we're live, and you can listen in. I'm pretty sure we're streaming here. I think this is working out pretty well right now. I think everybody's listening. Let's see what it was going. Oh, so there was another tweet. This is, again, trading Trump tweets. Somebody in the Trump administration said that the dollar versus the euro, is too weak. And they used some kind of an adverb to put in front of this, you know, some descriptive, something like outrageously weak or some other weak, commentary, and saying that, you know, Germany is really benefiting from this. And that
took Germany benefiting from this.
Well, because Germany is part of the euro and now has the euro as a currency. Germany is extremely strong as a country in terms of their economy. And now what we're finding is that the benefit that they get, because the rest of the bloc is very weak or generally weak, this all pushes opportunity for Germany to sell their products at a below currency value. Doesn't that make sense?
No, I'm looking at the currency right now. I'm looking at the currency chart, and the dollar is weakening to the euro. It's up to $1.79, almost $1.08. Yeah, I mean, it was $1.04 just like a few, like 2 weeks ago.
But I mean, don't you think that's kind of high?
It's going up.
I mean, kind of low for Germany?
Well, not since, I would say if you were complaining around November when the things plummeted to $1.06, I would say that you have maybe an argument. But now it's going in the opposite direction. It looks like a strong move. I'm just looking at the chart.
Well, it was up 1% today.
The euro?
Yeah, the euro's up 1% today. What he's saying is that there's been a tremendous.
You said it was weakening, I thought you said.
It's been too weak. They're saying it's too weak.
Oh, it's 2 weeks overall.
Right.
Exactly. That's nonsense.
You think so?
I think it should be parity.
Well, then if that's the case, then Germany, understand something. If If the euro currency is a conglomeration of the strength of all the countries that are in the eurozone, okay, right? We agree with that.
Okay.
All right. Now.
By the way, I don't fully agree with that.
Well, let's just go with that for a second.
Okay. But I'll go with it for the point of whatever argument you're going to make.
So now what's happening is that you have this you have Germany, which is much stronger than the rest of the countries, and they're getting the benefit of a much lower based currency, because if Germany was to be extracted from the euro, Germany's Deutschmark would be significantly higher in value, right?
I would think so.
Right. So therefore, them being inside of the eurozone and in the single currency, they're getting the significant benefit from there. And therefore, that's why it's been benefiting their economy over the years. We've talked about the fact that this was all part of a big plan by Germany for years to just simply, you know, get all the benefit of a lower currency and have all their manufacturing being sold via this lower currency.
So you see this thing as one grand scheme.
Yeah.
I can see. This is an interesting argument.
But you don't believe that.
Well, I have to think about the scheme part of it. I don't believe that. I don't believe that this euro is weak, even though it's down considerably. I just always think it's. I think it's overvalued. I thought it's been that way for the last few years. You know me. I've always been talking about it going down to parity.
And if you take out Germany from the whole picture, it's going to go to parity if there was such a thing as taking Germany out. Right.
Okay.
So therefore, Germany is really it's holding it up.
So you're saying Germany's cropping it up?
Yeah, they're cropping it up.
Propping it up in what little way they can.
Right. And it's hurting the other countries and favoring Germany. Germany's getting a lot of benefit from this deal. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. All right. Now, you remember we talked about how there were some problems in the taxi business, the cabs, due to Uber and Lyft and all that, right?
Yes.
Okay. There was this company, like the Medallions company, and this taxi company this company that would do loans and bridge financing for the Medallions. Medallions were like $1 million in New York or something like that. They
right.
moved down to like 300,000 and all that. Here's
You'd
something.
You'd go on the short if you could.
You could. It was great. Here's an interesting chart. This is available, by the way, on DH Unplugged under the show notes that will be posted. And all the information can be found there as well. If you click this chart, here's the Capital One loans, the value of their taxi portfolio. So in other words, the value on one line, there is the total taxi loans, which is the white line, and mm-hmm. the non-performing taxi loans as a percent of the total. So the right-hand side axis is the millions of dollars of the taxi loans. The left-hand side is the percent of non-performing loans as a percent of the total. Look at this since 2015, how the total taxi loans, first of all, have just moved all the way down.
Yeah, they plummeted.
And look at how incredible the non-performing, what are they up? 50% now, right? 50% of the taxi loans that were there are non-performing.
Yeah, it's terrible. What do they expect?
Well, this is kind of interesting. So what do we do about Capital One?
Oh, you think this is short?
I don't know.
This is good, but I mean, they're a big company. It's not as though this is their business. It's just a business.
It's just part of their business. But this is, I mean, so what are we talking about? There's $9 billion of loans they had outstanding. Right? Or they had a billion. Now they had 51.
One-time write-off.
Yeah. They had close to a billion. Now they have 690, and 50% of those are non-performing. That's pretty ugly. I've always thought Capital One, they were the ones that were, for a long time, the most egregious when it came to their credit cards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the different credit cards they had. Now you have Synchronicity? No. The ones that do the Amazon cards and the Synchronicity, one of those companies.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a credit card company called, like, I think Synchronicity or I forgot the name. Anyway, they do the cards for like Amazon. They do the cards for like Sam's Club. They're the credit card company behind it, where Capital One used to be behind it before.
Hmm.
So.
Well, Capital One, I never liked. I don't like what's in your wallet. I don't like their commercials. And Adam got a Capital One card for some reason or other. I think he's just to prop up his credit card rating or his credit rating. And he says if he claims it's like they charge you for nothing and they turn around, they charge you again. You're getting all kinds of fees and billings for not doing anything. It's apparently a horrible card.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the cards are bad. Synchronicity, well, you know, symphony. Anyway. All right. Dow 20,000. We got there, right?
Yeah. That's
now, that. One of the things you've seen is a big outcry that Barron's this week has had on their front, on the cover page. The cover page article is Dow 30,000.
That would be Barron's.
Yeah. And that's considered extreme. And just when that happens, markets start tailing off, you know, a few hundred points on the Dow. The Dow is down 100 change today.
Like a pump and dump.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg. Synchrony Bank. Yep. Synchrony Bank is the one. I was close. But Synchrony Bank is the one. Hey, there's a benefit of the chat room.
That is the benefit of the chat room.
Exactly. We need some kind of like a buzzer. Oh, actually, Brandon also, Synchrony Bank.
If you had a buzzer, it would be going off all the time with that chat room.
They're being well behaved. I was talking to Adam.
So far.
I was talking to Adam earlier today. He goes, oh man, it can get rough in there. So Chase does have, really? Chase does Amazon. All right. Anyway, so now Dow 20,000. So of the 30 companies in the Dow, there's a great chart on this also. On the 30 companies of the Dow, 16 had declining revenues in 2016. 17 had declining revenues over the two-year span since 2014. And here we are talking about Dow 20,000. How's that?
Well, wishful thinking is the way I see it.
It seems pretty remarkable to me that the focus on earnings, like it seems this kind of game of don't look here, but look here, you know, the old, you know, magician's trick or the illusionist, you know, look over here as I'm talking to you, is going on dramatically here. We have a situation where revenues have been, look at IBM. You know, IBM, we know, has been showing declining revenues for however long and all this. And we look at this and they miss or they decline quarter after quarter, but their earnings are staying up. And we know why. I'm not going to talk about that. But what is interesting is that investors are just so focused on the EPS and the beat numbers, not even looking back. It's almost like, you know, guys, what's going on? Why are you not looking at this? I'm not saying short everything or anything like that. But, you know, to get to these levels, there has to be a little bit more. You can't have this continuation. And what's going to end up happening is what would happen to Under Armour today as an example. Under Armour has been for how long? One of the cream of the crops, one of the, you know, for years prior to last year and right now, but been one of the best stocks out there in terms of earnings growth, revenue growth, margins. I mean, just a great company. Okay. It was the darling.
Yeah. Crushed.
Crushed. It was down 26% today.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
After missing earnings. Now the big question is going to be, what about, what's going to happen with companies that are, you know, sports related? Lululemon, Nike, Finish Line. What about maybe some of the sporting goods companies or any of the other kind of mixed sports apparel or casual wear? There may be a lot out there. I mean, we saw
that. Are there any analysts out there who have discussed the what's going on?
I mean,
People stopping that they're not buying tennis shoes anymore? Are they getting sick of the bull crap or the overpriced branded products?
Yeah, I mean, we had some problems due to
like the Crocs.
Yeah, exactly. We had some problems with some inventory issues because when Sports Authority closed and some other companies went in and consolidated. For other sports companies that's consolidated. I mean, Sports Authority left a lot of people holding the bag. It left a tremendous amount of companies with inventory at Sports Authority screwed because supposedly a lot of their contracts, and I heard this from some of the suppliers directly, and I know some people that do the supplying of Sports Authority, they had some kind of weird contract where, you know what, once they went bankrupt, they kept all their merchandise and didn't have to give it back.
What?
I'm telling you. I know a couple of companies got screwed royally on golf apparel, not golf apparel, golf supplies.
Wait, so they go bankrupt.
Yep.
They keep the goods.
Yeah.
And then they sell them off at auction and take the money?
Right. And there's something
who signs off on those deals.
Well, somebody who used to work for whatever company it was, right?
Used to work.
But you know,
those are sales guys. Sales guys that will sign off on that stuff because it's important. They get their commission. They're done. They're right. Good.
So now you have situations like that, and who knows what Under Armour did? I don't know their deals. I have no idea what exactly happened there. But Under Armour, has some inventory issues. Maybe the products are so good you don't need to keep buying stuff over and over, like some of the crappy products that rip and, when you wash them, they get all screwed up.
I've always felt that way about like the Lexus car that I have.
Yeah. You don't have to get rid of it. The wheels aren't falling off. Remember the old days of an American made car? Like 2 years in, everything's rattling.
Oh yeah, the doors are falling off. It makes a racket. They have to fill it with all kinds of goo to make it doesn't rattle right away. Yeah, yep. Things break.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any evidence that American cars are any better than they used to be.
I have a truck that's been around for a while.
Yeah, trucks. Yeah, we build good trucks. Also, the caravans are pretty good. My wife's got one with 150,000 miles on it. It runs fine.
And by the way, if anybody's having trouble in the chat room, it seems a little bit sluggish. I guess we got a lot of people and a lot of things going on. There's all this stuff. It just stops displaying after a while. That's not good.
It takes a while to get the kinks out of it.
Yeah, so it looks nice, though, the chat room. Oh, people have little smiley faces. Look at all that. So you don't have to sell things as often as you would in the past. Where, in the past, you'd have the situation where you'd go very quickly. So maybe that's part of it.
I don't think so. With clothes. Clothes are fashionable. You can't keep wearing old clothes. You look like an idiot.
Right.
Anyway.
So now let's talk about Apple.
Yeah.
Apple has come out with their earnings. Apple beat on EPS. Apple beat on revenue.
Yeah,
margins,
beat everything.
Margins are continuing to compress a little bit. Outlook less than analyst expectations, but that's always the case, right?
Yeah, you have to do that.
But here's some of the numbers that they came out. We'll go through some of these numbers that are on there. See them?
Yeah, iPhone's up 78.3 versus 77.3 versus 78.8 last year. It's like 78 million versus 77 estimated, and 74 is what they're way up on those. Who knows? Well, who knows why? Also, the iPads are up. No, I'm sorry. The iPads are down as expected. But the iPads aren't a big deal. But the Macs are, even though nobody likes the new Mac, by the way, it's up a little bit, 5.4, 5.3 million last year. But it's the phone. It's phone driving the business.
Totally driving the business, right?
Yeah. If that thing falters.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
Boy, that's going to be something to watch.
I mean, it's interesting how the iPads have pretty much just fallen off. The Macs are still holding on pretty good.
Yeah, they're up. It's up. You can't complain about that. No, the iPad is like, you get this. There's your example of the product that you don't have to keep buying over
exactly,
and over.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you have an iPad till they have enough updates that slow your iPad down to a crawl, you don't replace it.
I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I have one. I have the iPad 2. How old is that?
There's not enough stuff being done for the iPad that would cause that effect for it to slow down. They need to build in like Microsoft does, even though I think they stopped doing that, where the thing just kind of clogs up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way to describe it.
Yeah.
And then it's running like a pig.
I think they do that on purpose. I mean, I don't think that.
You think?
I don't think that Windows did that on purpose. It was just a bad system that kept on getting crapped up.
No, there's some thought that goes
into
it. You
think so? Yeah.
I don't think they sit there scheming and wringing their hands going, ha, ha, ha. I think that would make your point, which is that it's not quality.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about U.S. economic growth. We seem to have this very significant slowdown in the last quarter. And it's being blamed on, you know what it's being blamed on? You won't believe this.
On what?
Soybeans.
Yeah, soybeans.
A plunge in shipments of soybeans
This is nonsense.
Wait on exports. Soybeans. I mean, seriously. Are we a major exporter of soybeans all of a sudden?
We've been a major exporter of soybeans for quite some time.
But that is so a larger percentage of our
GDP. Not that much. Not that much as hanging up the economy.
Yeah. But consumer spending and business investments seem to rise a bit. So everybody's kind of saying it's just soybeans. You know, this is one of those little ways that you kind of find something strange inside the number and just blame it on that and say everything is fine otherwise. We saw that GDP increased at 1.9% on an annual basis. And this is down from 3.5%, which was, you know, the number in the prior period. Right. So supposedly this slowdown,
which was inflated as far as I can tell.
Yeah, there was a bit of a surge in home building and a rebound in business investment on equipment. But anyway, so I just thought that was kind of a funny story. Soybeans weighed down exports, thereby slowing down the entire U.S. economy.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting, Comcast.
Yes, I was looking at it. I got the press release on this, I think Monday. And I couldn't discuss it until today, I guess. And I was very impressed with this idea, but I'm not sure what it means. I was trying to kind of decode what it might mean. Does it mean I don't know what it means. I'm baffled by this. You have any thoughts?
I think it's pretty smart. Basically, you have a company that knows that people are not spending the money for quote unquote TV cable, not cable internet for a second. Just, you know, they know that they need internet. That's, you know, the young people know they need internet. They need internet to get their Netflix. They need internet to get, you know, whatever else they have out there, right? Just right. To be on their Snapchat and all that. I mean, they can use their phones, but they want to get internet. They know they need that. So right. Now what they're doing is saying, you know what? Maybe Comcast is, you know what? Well, let's just bundle this into a software package, which essentially is what it is anyway. You know, they have their own guide and channel selector and all that. Let's just bundle this in. Now, the question's going to be, what are they going to do? I guess there's really no local anymore. It's all part of the... It's not like there's a local anymore. Remember how you used to have cable and then local?
Well, you can still get local channels. You can pay $5 and get your local channels over the cable or the dish.
So they're gonna embed this into a Roku box and embed it into smart TVs. And now the supplier Aris.
It's not really embedded in the Roku box. It's accepted as a stream by the Roku box.
Okay, but they'll need to do some kind of an app, create some kind of an app for smart TVs, whatever particular.
Well, they can do that with Roku on a smart TV. There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Or they can do it with an app. That's what Netflix, everybody does. Now all the smart TVs have got all these services, which is very handy for people who want to get 4K. Because now you get 4K Netflix if you want to pay more.
Yeah, I have it.
Would you? Yep. Isn't it better?
Yep.
It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, there's a lot in 4K. I'm almost finished with watching Travelers. That was kind of a cool, I think that's pretty cool, the way that, the whole premise of it. But not anything unbelievable. But in 4K, it's beautiful to watch.
Oh, yeah. No, 4K is hypnotic.
Right. Let's see here. What else?
Well, back to this.
Yeah, go ahead. Continue.
Again, I asked the question, what do you think this is all about? Is it like bypass? Is it there are no people are trying to cut, do cord cutting, and maybe this is something that will stop them or not stop them? I'm not sure. I just find this whole thing very unique and weird.
I mean, I think they're trying to just get the whole market. So now, therefore, if people are not getting Comcast cable because they don't have a cable box of any sort, and they're just in the cord cutting universe. They're saying, "Hey, let's just go." You know, everybody, the whole skinny bundle and the whole idea.
You can plug your cable directly into a TV.
You can't, or you can.
You can.
I understand that, but what they're going to do?
You don't need a box. You only need a box for the premium stuff,
right? So they're going to offer, but they also don't have their Xfinity X1 service with all the guys and all that, unless you have their box. And the recording and things of that nature. So it's going to
But maybe with the Roku box, you don't need but maybe all those extra services will come over that stream.
Exactly.
I mean, all the extra channels, you know, ESPN and stuff like that, which you need a box for. Is that possible?
Possible. I think so.
Well, here's what I'm thinking then. So I've got my Xfinity system here, which I only use for internet. And I use the dish for television. I just think it's a superior product. And but I've got this, my house up in Port Angeles. I can take my Roku up there and watch Infinity. I can watch Comcast without paying for an extra subscription, which I would have to do up there.
Right.
How is this helping them?
I guess, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not sure.
I sent a note back to the company or the guy that was sending this press release out, and I said, is this because you guys are like afraid of Slingbox? Sling's got this new service that gets you a bunch of, it's kind of like cable light. It's not cheap, but it's like cable light, and you can get all these channels through their system, and not the Slingbox itself, but the Sling TV service. And I never heard back.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea for them, because if they're trying to capture more of the market, that's the only thing I can say. I mean, you just don't need the box anymore.
Well, maybe this, but they make money on that box. If you got the box, you got to go to your little store, your Comcast store. We got one over here in Berkeley, and you go in there and you can swap out one thing for another and get a DVR. It's actually pretty handy. And they charge you by the month for having this box. $5 or $10, whatever it is.
Yep.
So they're giving up that?
I suppose. I don't know.
I'm telling you, this whole thing to me is very sketchy. I don't get it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll look at it. For those of you in the chat, just chill out. We'll get to figure out why it becomes unresponsive after a little while and you have to refresh the page. But I don't know what's going on there, but we'll figure that out. Seems like a little
bit
of a
first time. It's the first time out with the chat room.
Yeah, it seems like there's a little bit of a drag on the server from this. I don't know why that is. It's supposed to be a light Ajax chat. I'll change some of the settings and have my developers deal with it. So just refresh your page in the meantime. Okay, let's see. If you don't like the facts, change them. So ExxonMobil released earnings this morning, and it seems it was a very big miss on the headline EPS. But this afternoon, there was some announcement came out that, reanalysis, the company actually earned 90 cents versus the 70 cents after some analysts updated all the numbers, what they were expecting and what it was. And they beat, you know? Yep.
I like it.
Yeah, exactly. You could follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. Myself, Andrew Horowitz, one word, Andrew Horowitz, on Twitter. And of course, you can make donations. Thank you, by the way, very much for, we had a bunch of donations last week. And thank you for everybody that is sending in their donations. You can just click on the donation link and you can very easily and painlessly provide this for example, this wonderful chat that doesn't work exactly pays for it. That's what pays for the chat. So if you want the chat to work a little bit better, send in a little bit more money so we can pay the developers. That's all. Close to the Pin for Facebook is open. They come out with their earnings tomorrow. Actually, Facebook, I saw a little, I didn't put this in our notes, but Facebook is now coming out with a TV app or some kind of app for TV.
Why?
I don't know. I guess so you can watch suicides on your TV now.
I guess.
You know, you can watch people, with all the...
Most TVs don't have a keyboard, so that's kind of limiting. So I guess you have a pop-up keyboard. That's handy.
Some of them, mine you can talk to, and then it will...
Any good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's kind of cool where I say, I want to watch golf. I want to watch football. It just pulls up everything.
Does it laugh at you when you say you want to watch golf?
No.
I think that's what it needs to have.
It just gives me a little clap.
It needs a laugh track.
A little clap. Okay, let's also mention, so the Close to the Pin is open for Facebook. I think it's open for another day. Let's see, I'm going to check right now. You can guess what you think is going to be the let's see. Yep, it's still open. Actually, no, Facebook is closed. The day for closed entries is today, so you're done. Can't enter your stuff anymore. So it is now running.
What's next?
What's next where? Oh, after Facebook?
I don't know. What's after Facebook?
I have nothing. You have something?
Yeah, how about Netflix?
I think I think we did Netflix, but I'll put that down on my...
We did it again.
How about the chat room? What do you think? What should we have? I'm going to write Netflix.
Okay, let the chat room choose.
Chat room could choose if it actually works. Let's see. Chat room, what do you think? Stugatz is coming up with it. You lost him 50 G's. I'm going to leave that alone.
So what's this new ETF, Global X Millennials?
What do you mean? How, well, you know what that is.
Well, yeah, I know we talked about it once before.
That's our, what do you mean? That's our,
that's ours.
No, that's not ours. That's the ETF.
Yeah, that's the one that we're, isn't that the one we're competing against?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know where we are on that. I have to look at it.
So what have they done? They've done some new stuff.
Why have they done new stuff?
Haven't they?
Not really.
Oh.
They're still the same. They keep moving things around a little bit. Let's see here. I think it was up, I think it was about even. It was, each were up about 6% since inception.
We should maybe we should get a hold of PowerShares or somebody and see if we can get them to do this. Us the design.
That's interesting. Like it right there. We could actually form an ETF. I wonder if people would want it. There's actually a new ETF out. I'll mention this because we talk about gold often on the show. You know, gold is affected by the dollar, and the ETF will
supposed to be.
There's a new dollar hedged ETF with gold. I don't remember the exact symbol. It's like GLDH or GLDW, something like that. Anyway, interesting to take a look at. Hmm. All right, moving on right along. We hit all this. All right, here's a couple of things that are interesting. You know how exciting and how people are flocking. Have you seen Hamilton yet?
No, I haven't seen Hamilton. I've probably seen it because every time it's somebody on television, they play different songs. I think I've seen all the songs.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not going to go see Hamilton until probably the next go round because it's too expensive.
Yeah, off Broadway. What's interesting about this. When there's always something really good, you got to find the thieves are all over it, right? Always. So now two guys were charged with a Ponzi scheme that cheated wealthy people, including a bunch of people who invested in this ticket business in popular shows like Adele at concerts and Broadway's Hamilton. So these two guys basically were charged with enticing wealthy individuals to make $1 million investments where they would go and buy blocks of tickets and then resell them for a higher price. Because they can get them at cheaper and they can get them in advance and all this stuff. So all these people were thinking, these schmuckos have some kind of a deal over what all the other ticket masters and all that can get ahead of them. What's the matter with people?
I'm reading about this. It says that led 13 states to invest $81 million.
Yeah. 13 states.
People in 13 states.
Right.
To invest $81 million. Really?
Yeah. $81 million bucks. And then, of course, they have to start buying the cars and they have to start, you know, all the stuff that they do. And then they realize, there's not enough money to pay back.
Jeez.
Yep. So this is a Ponzi scheme and it just happens all the time. It just never fails that when there's something like this. You know what? I've had two personal experiences with Ponzi schemes, whereas a client brought me in to look at the paperwork and all of the information about it to ask me whether or not this is something that we should invest in or that they should invest in. And on both cases, I was lucky, but on both cases, I said, absolutely not. There is no way that this is real. There's just no way. And it turned out both. One was Madoff and the other one was...
You stopped the guy from going into Madoff?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So the bottom line is that what was the other one? The one was Alan, the guy
Stanford.
Stanford. Yeah. So those guys I met with their salespeople and they were showing me how they were leveraging these bonds and they were like 10 to 1 on the bonds and this and that. And they were showing me how they were just short on the long short side and they leveraged this. I'm like, what are you talking about? That doesn't work. Are you kidding me? What happens if bond rates move? Oh, well, we got that. I said, if you move from one over here, you're 10 times leveraged on this. You're going to get killed. And the other problem was on this deal that it was actually it was wrapped into a CD of a bank. So it was a CD of a bank that was doing all the stuff behind the scenes with all the bonds. It was paying like 12%. And The funny thing was that I'm like, well, what bank? They're like, well, the Bank of Antigua. I'm like, or Antigua. Wait a minute. You have to go to, what if, there's no backing. If you have to, anything happens, you're going to have to go to Antigua, this one little schmuckle little bank, and try to collect your money on a.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Forget about it. It was so stupid. So stupid.
The only reason you put your money in banks like that is so people can't get the money.
Yeah. Crazy. And speaking of banks, you know, we have all sorts of problems with regard to the, we know the banks in Europe are in big trouble, right? We've known that forever. Nothing's changed. Nothing. And now the Italian government says, not to worry. We have at least $20 billion that's earmarked from the government to recapitalize other banks after Monte dei Paschi, which is a major bank of Italy. $20 billion? What is nobody getting here, right? So the Monte dei Paschi gets $6 billion. They can take a 70% stake in the bank. And we're all sitting here going, oh, no problem. Not to worry. So the government, which is the people, are going to take all this money back into the banks and basically do all these bad loans again and just blow their money. I mean, do you know how much money has been put into these banks already? So nothing's getting better is the point.
No. Talk about your Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, that's totally a Ponzi scheme.
You're making those ticket guys look like small potatoes.
Yeah.
20. And they're doing $80 million. Holy mackerel.
Unbelievable. All right, let's see what else we got here. Remember how all the companies were going to be taking the jobs from Mexico and other countries and putting them into America? Remember that whole thing?
We're leaving Mexico. We're coming back.
Yeah. Well, it seems that General Motors is going to cut 625 jobs at their plant in Ontario and send them over to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's not taking jobs from Americans. It's taking jobs from Canadians. It's not our business.
Right.
And you know that character that's the premier, the prime minister. What's his name? Where? He's not going to have the backbone to do anything about anything. He's a Trump hater.
With an L. J? L. You're talking about Canada?
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau?
Yeah, Justin Bieber. That's who it is.
Justin Trudeau. No, he'll have nothing. He can't do anything about that. And then it's going to Mexico. So they're taking him out of Canada, going to Mexico. So
yeah, but that's all part of their whole NAFTA thing. It's the easiest pie to do that.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, so here's, what do you think about this? Do you think this is possible? And maybe it's kind of like a vendetta, but Time Warner is, obviously we know that there's going to be a merger of Time Warner and AT&T.
Right.
You know? And the Trump administration says something from Charlie Gasparino from Fox Business, that it looks like it will be approved with the possibility of a spinoff of CNN. So Trump administration is going to approve the deal as long as they spin off CNN.
What's CNN going to go?
Where they're going to go into their own company and not going to get part. I don't know, but I guess Trump has a vendetta against CNN plus, you know.
I don't blame him.
Well, but that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah. The Americans.
But I think when they approve these deals, they can't start being part of the deal.
Well, why not? They could always clamp down on deals saying it's no good. So why they say they many times the government says that, you know, this deal's no good. You got to spin off this or spin off that.
Yeah. Right? You're right. Yeah, this has been done before.
Yeah, because it's maybe going to be an overlap of business and a monopoly and all this other crap. Let's see. We only got a few more minutes on this side. Starbucks is going to be planning to hire 10,000 refugees worldwide in the next 5 years in response to the Trump administration's recent nicks on refugees and all that into the country. Now people are boycotting Starbucks.
Why are they boycotting Starbucks? They haven't hired anybody.
Well, because they announced this. This is, oh my God, you're going to hire, terrible.
Yeah, we got guys, we got homeless in America. Hire them. Well, they already have, apparently. Somebody sent me a note because I bitched about this on Twitter. And then somebody said, well, they've been hiring homeless. Mm-hmm. So I had to delete the tweet.
Yep. American Civil ACLU received $24 million in online donations over the weekend, which is interesting.
Yeah, the ACLU was largely responsible for promoting that, all these events.
Well, what's interesting is they usually take it about
four, publicity stunt.
Really good, right? Yeah.
$24 million is good.
Yeah, I mean, this, yeah. $24 million when
they only get $4 million. And then they got in the, although nobody watches this, but the SAG-AFTRA Awards.
Oh, but I saw outtakes from that whole thing where they were yelling into the camera. And, ugh. What is that about?
Oh, these people are nuts. And anyway, there's one actress. She's going on and on about, she's right up there on the podium saying, give your money to ACLU.
Really? Said,
wow. Jeez.
We stand behind you. We are not going to make another movie until this is resolved. We are not going to take another job until this is resolved. No. Well, you know what they're going to do? They're going to make movies about this and make all sorts of money from it.
Well, they definitely can do that.
Mm-hmm. That's what's going to end up happening. You know it. Now, here's something interesting. This is, all right, everybody needs to brace themselves for this. I tweeted this last week. For the first time ever, scientists have grown an embryo that is part pig and part human. Did you see this story?
This got something to do with the New England Patriots.
I don't think so. The experiment described Thursday in the journal Cell involves injecting human stem cells into the embryo of a pig, then implanting the embryo in the uterus of a sow and allowing it to grow. After 4 weeks, the stem cells had developed into the precursors of various tissue types, including heart, liver, and neurons, and a small fraction of the developing pig was made up of human cells. This is weird. This is...
I'd say that's weird.
I don't even understand it.
It's actually creepy, beyond weird.
I understand that there is a need to maybe somehow creating and forming various
organs.
I get that. But why are we doing it with a part pig? Where does that come into play?
Apparently, a pig has got a lot of commonality in its genetic structure, a mouse.
A mouse and a pig have commonality?
No, mouse has certain commonalities with humans, so they can test drugs on them. And pigs do, too.
Oh, I see. All right, let's take a look at a couple other things here. Where are we in here? Oh, we got a few more minutes.
You got the 30 pounds of cocaine story.
Yeah, this is funny.
Isn't this been going on for the last 30 years with American Airlines?
Yeah, of course. But here's what's funny about this. Everybody's like, oh, it's always Miami and all. So the story starts out with 30 pounds of cocaine were found hidden inside an American Airlines plane during a routine maintenance check. Workers found 7 bricks of cocaine inside an electronics bay near the nose gear of this Boeing 757 that was in Tulsa. Now, here's the rest of the story. The plane actually came from Bogota and landed in Miami, okay, and got picked up on the computer system for routine maintenance. And that usually happens in Miami, but I guess they were overloaded. Can you imagine the guys waiting for this deal?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, you know, we're going to take it off the plane and all that. And something happens and the plane can't. Now that goes over to, maybe they figured out a way that they're going to make sure that this, the maintenance crew is not going to be able to touch the plane and stuff. They'll do it somewhere else. And then they don't get it for some reason and they got to ship it off. And
oh, yeah. This is a big, this to these guys, it could be money involved that somebody promised somebody something. Somebody's going to get shot.
Yeah. Well, 30 pounds of cocaine. Yeah. So it was Miami. It was Florida again. It was supposed to be destined for
Florida. As usual.
As usual, it's been destined for Florida. Someone was talking about how, who was it talking about when it snows in Florida in the 70s? Oh, I saw a comedian this weekend. You know, when it snows in Florida, it's not really snow. It's really just little bunches of cocaine being thrown out of the planes coming from Colombia. China, it's a Chinese New Year. I don't know if you go out to any Chinese restaurants or you do anything special for the Chinese New Year.
Well, I mean, they have a big parade in San Francisco. It's pretty spectacular.
Do you go? San Francisco Chinatown's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you go?
I've been. I don't go necessarily, but I went recently because I got an invite to be on the judge's stand, not as a judge, but to be a guest.
Wow.
And so that made it better. But I had gone for years before that when it was a little more raucous than it is today.
Hmm.
I think the parade's better, but the raucousness is not what it was. I remember when it was so raucous, like in the 70s.
Yeah.
That it was all right through the downtown area. It was very crowded, and the buildings are tall, and people would be throwing cherry bombs and firecrackers off the roof onto the public.
Really?
I remember. Yes, it was terrible. And I promised I would never go again because it would look so dangerous. And I remember a big, just one of those big firecrackers thrown down, and you could see it because of the trail of the fuse, and it landed right in some woman's hair. She had a big hairdo.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my
had
God.
A big hairdo, landed in there, and then blew up in her hair and threw hair all over the place.
Oh, but was she hurt? No, we're not worried about the hair.
Well, I'm sure she wasn't, you know, didn't feel good about it. She probably, you know, has a big bald spot there now. Sure she was hurt.
That's awful. That's awful.
Yeah,
But the one thing about
horrible to witness.
Chinatown in San Francisco has something unique that you don't see in other Chinatowns. They have these long dough, fried dough, which is, you see that in China also. These little fried dough sticks are like, I think the Latin, it's like the, not chorizo, is the, anyway, it's like these long dough things that they have, and they have it at the Chinese restaurants. They dump them in your food and you kind of stick them in there. Churros.
That's a Mexican thing.
Yes, churros. I'm telling you, it's churros.
But anyway,
they have them in Chinatown. Next time you go, you have to get those.
Let me write it down.
Put it on the list. The things I have to do. This is your bucket list.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at the stocks. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy any securities. It is not anything more than just a simple discussion of some ideas that we have. And please do not use any of our ideas or our thoughts or our comments on any of the stocks that we talk about unless you seek professional financial advice and do your own due diligence. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz & Company clients may own some of the stocks that we mention. Of course, we will duly note that on the stock page. You can also find all of these stocks over on dhunplugged.com. Under the weekly stock picks button or tab there, you go over there and you can see what's happening live. There's actually a live spreadsheet tables that go over what is actually happening with each of the securities and kind of how each of them are doing, if there's any gains or losses and what's in, what's out, et cetera. So there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, our last picks didn't do well.
No, so far they're in the red.
All of them. Yeah, well, your Facebook short.
Yeah, Retractable's doing all right. That's from one show ago. Facebook's out to Facebook Retractable Technologies. That was one show ago. But somebody corrected me. It's called Cameco. Cameco, not Cameco. Cameco.
What did you say?
Cameco.
Oh, Cameco.
Yeah.
You're in Florida. It makes sense.
It's Cameco. It's Cameco. But
Cameco is good. It's up. It's up 7.23 in just a matter of what? A week and a half?
Yep,
two weeks.
Not bad. Facebook, they're coming out with earnings tomorrow night. And I think if you kind of read the tea leaves sometimes, I always find it interesting a company that comes out with some kind of new announcement of new technology the day before their earnings. Or some kind of, you know, something that's supposed to be kind of, you know, good for the stock just a day before the earnings. So that's the afternoon before
the
earnings.
That to be a red flag?
I do. Now, it's not all the time, but there's definitely, I've seen more times than not.
Seen it, right, too many times.
Too many times a company comes out with something. It's like, hey, look what we got over here. Don't look at the earnings. Look at over here. This is a great thing over here, though. Don't look at the earnings. You know, they're kind of like, trying to do a, what is that called when you do that?
Sleight of hand.
A little sleight of hand. A little sleight of hand is going on. A little sleight of hand. All right, so Barclays still up 52%, Herbalife up 7.5%, ProShares, TBT up 20%. That was down today. People are buying bonds today. We have, you know what I was thinking today? One of the things we haven't seen this year in 2017 so far, like we saw throughout last year, was the Fed parade, the central banker parade. It's kind of died down a bit, thank God. But it's been a lot more, I think, relaxed. It makes me happy because I can't, you know, it's getting a little bit overwhelming. But tomorrow we have Fed Day, so who knows? Usually Fed Days are up. TransDigm Digital, TransDigm Group was stopped out. Tronc is still holding on to. Facebook is hanging in.
The corkscrew.
That famous corkscrew chart is finally stopped out. I have no picks for this week. I'm still waiting.
I don't either.
No, really?
Well, I did. I was looking at some stuff, and I'm kind of irked that we didn't pick Peabody Coal.
U.S. Steel came out with earnings tonight, and their earnings were okay, but they missed a bit. But they projected that next year their earnings, they're upping their guidance from $1.79 to $3.70.
What?
Yep. U.S. Steel, which was kind of just getting killed and all that, and all of a sudden Trump comes in, stock is up, I don't know, 100% or 150% or 200%, something crazy since the election, and all of a sudden they're giving guidance that they're going to make just incredible amounts of money.
Well, then I'll pick something.
Oh, what are you going to pick?
Again, this is kind of a Trump. It has something to do with Trump. I'm going to go long on Advanced Emissions Solutions. There's some insider buying. It's not a big deal.
Did you have that before?
ADES.
Did you ever have that before? You have ADES from last week. What's the matter with you?
What?
Yes, it's right there.
Oh, yeah, I did. Well, I'm doubling up. Put more in there. That's funny.
What about Under Armour?
Ooh, that's a good one. Under Armour.
Some people mentioned Under Armour in the chat room that would be something that they would want to see.
What you want to do? What's the chart look like?
Terrible. Awful. Horrible. Actually,
well, then what would you want to buy it? Would you want to sell it? You want to short Under Armour?
I would go.
It's already made a move.
It's made the move. It had a huge amount of shares traded today. I don't know.
Do you think it bounce back?
I would wait a day or so. Maybe next week we'll talk about it. It definitely has an opportunity next week. I don't know if I would necessarily grab it. I mean, we have a little bit of it in some portfolios. Nothing to be, you know, no shocking amount that's so troubling that, you know, it's a big problem. But, you know, still none of it, holding any of it was very bad right now.
What about Nike? What about some of these other guys that are kind of second tier Nikes?
Yeah.
Well, like Reebok and some of these other companies.
Like Adidas and Skechers.
Adidas is a good example.
Skechers, SKX.
Skechers, that's an interesting idea.
Although
Skechers is kind of like a low-end version of everything.
When it pops, it pops. When it gets into, for whatever reason, they get a little...
How about Crocs?
Same thing, any of these names, look at what's gone on to the big box retail stores. They're getting killed also. So it's just a big problem out there. Big problem.
Well, I'm not seeing the Dow going to 30,000 anytime soon.
Yeah. I hear you. All right. Well, I think that's about it.
Okay.
Let me see if I can successfully.
I'll see you again next. We'll talk again on next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Yes, we will. We'll have it live chat. Let's see if I can.
And maybe the chat room will be working a little better.
Maybe. Oh, I can't bring this thing up. Let's see. Let's go here. I can't bring this up. Somehow this is not working.
Well, yeah, it stinks. This is like you're in beta. This is beta.
Yeah. Trying to get the ending to play right now, but it's just not playing. I don't know what's happening.
Well, we can just end it, kill it, and then you can tack it on and post.
That's what we're going to do. All right. You next week.
You've been listening on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.